When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm not going to say outright no, but I think this is definitely not necessarily like who I'd prioritize they target. First of all, he's from Ohio. Like, he's born in Ohio.
That is fairly problematic.
All right, what's brewing, everybody? This is the Brews and Bruins podcast, the Hockey Podcast Network podcast, presented by Bruins Diehards, Pride Diehards, Wicked Diehards. I am this episode's host, Chris Gear, and I'm here with Cam Hasbrook and Drew Johnson. What's up, fellas?
What's up?
Living the dream. Living the dream.
For a second there, I thought you both were going to go with non-verbal hellos for this audio verbal medium.
Yeah, that'd be tough. It would be fitting too, to be fair, but
We got a our first trade deadline special, I guess, and then
first of many.
But we're gonna keep going even after the deadline has passed. But before we do that, let's hop into some beverages. I do not have a beverage because I have to pick up a child from school in a little bit. Drew is holding up his drink to the camera so everybody listening can see it.
Yes. It is a Woodchuck hard cider, established 1991. About as old as Chris. So Woodchuck, it's got a woodchuck on it. Look at that meme, woodchuck. This is their amber sweet red apple cider. They have a couple different flavors. This is the only one I've had from them. And it's really smooth. As someone who drinks down east a lot, it's definitely less sugary than that, but it's not quite like a dry cider. It's like a nice happy medium, nice and crisp. Had to do that for the ASMR. Drinkability. I think we're going to have to go to the full 37 there. That's a very drinkable cider. Tasteability, I'm going to go, as far as ciders go, like a 26. Blake Wheeler, rest in peace. He's alive, but he's not a Bruin, so.
So he's dead to us.
Yeah. He's dead to the Bruins and Bruins, but let's have him on sometime.
Is he still playing? I feel like, because he was with Winnipeg for a while, right? And I feel like I haven't heard his name in a few years, but.
Rangers?
Let's maybe trade for him.
Maybe he's on our trade deadlines, but I don't want to spoil anything for the characters, but. I am not drinking anything alcoholic right now because I have a soccer game and still 4 hours, which is crazy. Just an outrageous time to have a soccer game. But we're recording this at 6 p.m. for all of you listening later, which is everyone. Market Basket Seltzer, Black Cherry, delicious as always. 37 out of 37. The 37's all around on drinkability. Shouts to Lancey. Tasteability, like a 5, which is, I think, the nice medium for seltzer. You want to be able to taste it. Doesn't want to be, you know, sugary or anything like that. More than just the aroma, you know, it's there, it's present, but it's not overwhelming, which is, to me, what you want out of a seltzer. So, shouts to Market Basket, more for your dollar.
No free ads.
I had a coconut lime vitamin water that was pretty sick. All right, I guess Before we get into the trade deadline stuff, either of you guys watched the Bruins game last night?
Yeah, I did. It was tough. I actually stayed up and watched the entire thing and then fell asleep during overtime and then woke up right after overtime and they were running the highlights and I was like, all right, let's see who won. And they were like showing the highlights and then I saw McAvoy score almost as if it was in real time. Like, I didn't see a score bugger in before that. So I watched the highlight of him scoring the winner and was like, damn, that was sick. I'm kind of annoyed I fell asleep, but it was like 1 in the morning here. So I was thinking, yeah, understandable. But to make it through the entire three periods of madness and then fall asleep as overtime was starting was difficult.
It's pretty brutal.
Yeah.
I stayed up one time to watch the Japanese Grand Prix, which was at like 2 or 3 a.m. here. And I like watched all the pregame and everything for like 2 hours, and I fell asleep during the formation lap.
Yeah, that's tough. Much like Chris and I would regularly stay up for our NC Dinos during the pandemic. Shouts to the KBO.
The NC Dinos, hell yeah.
The boys, the one true dino.
It was very fun when I was in Seoul and I like organically got to watch a Dinos game on the television at like a fried chicken place. It was great.
That's awesome.
Well, that was a great recap on the Edmonton Oilers.
yeah, but we got a lead with the exciting stuff when it was probably one of the best games of the year. 5-5 going into OT, McAvoy with an absolutely dirty dangle to finish on the backhand and win it. Beforehand, there were a couple of Pastrnak chances that I thought were absolute cash as well. I feel like you go into overtime against Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and among others, and assume that, your chances probably aren't great. But I don't know, McAvoy and Pastrnak kind of felt like they took over that period.
Yeah, definitely good to see. And McAvoy bailing the boys out twice in a row, too, with the prior shootout winner and then the overtime winner, obviously, against Edmonton. It's awesome to see him step in. I've been thinking about that a lot with, obviously we've talked about it a lot on the pod before. McAvoy doesn't get his dues for Norris Trophy. He definitely doesn't get his dues for the Vezina, but
a couple of saves to his credit.
Yeah, doesn't get the Norris Trophy consideration because of I don't even want to say a perceived lack of offense, but he doesn't quite have the numbers to back it up like an Adam Fox would normally, that kind of thing. But I mean, the last two games and that overtime goal in particular is really a proof that like when he has his opportunities, he's pretty gross on the puck and he can create really, really well. Obviously, I think moving the puck up ice is his strongest point, but especially what we've seen out of the Montgomery system the last 2 years, I think him stepping up into the play. He loves making those backside rushes off the far post too during a lengthy possession, and obviously the overtime winner was filthy. Nice hands there, and just great awareness to like see how far the goalie was out and to make that move. So again, not that one goal is going to get him into the Norris conversation, but I think that is a slightly overlooked part of his game sometime when neutral fans are looking at him.
Yeah, absolutely filthy. To your point, Cam, I don't want to misattribute this, so I'm not going to even say who it was from. But one of the like advanced stats Twitter accounts posted a chart that had McAvoy as like the number one in each of the last 3 years at converting zone exits successfully to zone entries, which is great. You like that.
That's huge for a defenseman. Yeah. I mean, ever heard of Bobby Orr? He was pretty good at that. But.
Speaking of defensemen, Mason Lauri back up to fill in for the injured Hampus Lindholm, who is out for weeks. I don't know if that's something where the Bruins are going to, kind of just shut him down until the playoffs and hope they can use some of that cap space for the upcoming discussion on trade deadline stuff. Or if that's something where, you want to work him back in and make sure you have that cap space to, get him up to speed for the playoffs. We've kind of seen it work both ways for teams that use that cap circumvention, but we'll see what the Bruins do when it comes to the trade deadline. And we'll talk about that in a few, but Mason Lauri, 3 assists in his return, had some rough looks defensively, but also had some good looks defensively. And obviously looked pretty good on the offensive end. What'd you guys see from him?
Yeah, I was pretty happy with it. Obviously coming out with 3 points is awesome for a defenseman. And, not that he isn't necessarily known for like his ability to move the puck, but it's not like the first thing that comes to mind. I think, his size is really the big thing. I don't know. I feel like people look at him with a very critical eye sometimes, just sort of by nature of like how the Bruins have been able to kind of pull up, especially on the defensive side. Like, again, Charlie McAvoy came into the league, not a fair expectation or comparison there, but he was ready to go right away. And I think there's sort of an unfair expectation sometimes that these young defensemen in particular, right? It's, you don't see it as much from the forwards because obviously, I mean, hockey, you have that defensive responsibility no matter what position you're playing, but you know, when you're the back line there, it's a little bit more important. And obviously it's hyper-focused there. So I think you see some kind of typical young player mistakes from him and people bag on him a little bit, maybe too much for it sometimes. Just because maybe there is an unfair standard set. He's a super young player who's a large guy trying to, you know what I mean? Not like he had the teen growth spurt where he's like trying to figure it out, but like using that frame at the NHL level where everybody necessarily is not necessarily that huge, but everybody is an elite level player versus in college at Ohio State. It's a very different game, right? And I think obviously we're going to see an adjustment period here. I think overall his progress I've been pretty pleased with over the course of the season. I don't think he's like super sturdy reliable yet, but I think as far as young defensemen go and how young he is still, he's progressing pretty well. I think, you know, he's a player that next time or this next season, maybe this time of year, you know, we can look back and say, you know, he's progressed a hell of a lot more, but like, you know, you can see the natural talent there and the ability. So obviously injuries are a huge concern, especially on the defensive side right now for the Bruins. So he might kind of be forced into a lot of playing time. Could be good for him development wise. Hopefully he can handle it, but you know, I hope regardless of how injuries go, the Bruins kind of keep him in the plans. Cause I do think he's a promising young guy.
Yeah. I think Laura is definitely like right now, obviously he's on the cusp as that kind of seventh defenseman and maybe not even, you know, with all the injuries and everything, but I think he does have an impact on the game. Kind of like Chris said with his defensive game last night, sometimes that's good and sometimes that's bad within the same game. But I mean, if you're seeing those flashes of strong play and having three assists and getting your return, you know, that's really what you look for as what's going to be his full potential. So I think it really next season's where you're looking at him to be a solid part of the team in a regular starting role, whether that's in the bottom six or preferably getting him more minutes in the top four, thinking that's maybe his caliber of play at the peak of his potential. So right now you take what you get, and if he's able to fill in solidly for injuries, you know, rather than some random depth guy you signed during free agency, then that's great. And he's getting the ice time he needs at the NHL to develop.
Yeah, and to that point, I think, like, the Bruins are going to make the playoffs, right? Like, that's not really a concern for this team right now, barring some crazy shit. They're pretty safely in a spot, and especially with the injury concerns, I'd rather be a little cautious with some of the other guys and get him more NHL experience right now versus burying him in Providence where, you know, it's still good experience, but it's not quite the same as playing in the NHL. So I don't think it's the worst thing to let him kind of work out some of those kinks right now so that, again, when next season comes around, he's got a full NHL season under his belt, while also hopefully giving, you know, your Grizzlicks or your Lindholms and everybody else a little bit more time to get really healthy. So, again, we'll see what the circumstances kind of force as far as playing hands go, but I'm happy to see him out there, and it's awesome to see him jump back in and contribute like that. That's a player who to me is playing with confidence, even though I'm sure it's hard to play confidently when you're kind of on that balance that, you know, a couple small mistakes could send you back to Rhode Island there. So I'm pretty happy to see him step in and contribute and play with a lot of confidence, which again is going to cause issues a little bit here and there because you might make the wrong play sometimes, but I'd rather see that than see a player who looks tepid and is unsure of himself. Like I think he does try to assert himself, as for better or for worse sometimes, but it's a good mentality to have at his age.
Yep. Speaking of big boys, Justin Brazzo got his first goal in his first game. Mm-hmm. Kind of enjoying watching him fit in on that line with Trent Frederick. And it's been kind of cool. Yeah, you guys got any thoughts on this guy, Justin Brazzo?
Big great dude, name. Love shielding the puck.
It sounds like a New England Patriots player name. I don't know. They've had some weird ones over the years. They're not like weird ones, but just like last names you haven't heard before.
Yeah, he could be a good tight end, I think. That could work.
It's actually very funny. I grew up with someone who had the last name Brazzo, so it's not one that I haven't heard before, but other than that, it is.
Yeah. I don't have
yeah, no thoughts on his play. Just
like yeah, his name. Just, yeah, we just like he passed the name test.
Yep. We gotta come up with a nickname soon.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, Big Fudge. He can assume that.
Maybe bigger that fudge.
bigger fudge.
Bigger fudge. I don't know. We gotta check the height comparison, but I'm pretty fudge, sure he's got a little bit on him.
He's 6'5", so yeah, I think he's got Nick Ritchie beat by a fair amount.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll keep our eyes on that guy. Drew, you got any update on PWHL Boston, who may have a team name before the playoffs?
Ooh, I watched on Monday. I did not get to watch last night, nor the Bruins, because I was working like a fucking dog. But not until 11 p.m. By then I was exhausted and knew I wouldn't be awake for the rest. Anyway, Monday's game I did see, and that's where they finished their four-game losing streak, and it was romantic, as it was against Ottawa, who had just beat them before. That was on Wednesday. I did see some of Wednesday. See, I got the two games confused because they were both in Boston and it was against Ottawa both times. I saw part of the Wednesday game, which was really nice to see. I saw Monday's game, and there were definitely a few weaknesses, and you really, for that whole four-game losing streak, I don't think Mueller had a point. I think Gable might have had a point, but that's what I'm getting at. Like, all the players you'd expect goals out of just weren't really lighting it up like they were at the beginning of the season. And finally kind of broke through in that one. But so glad to see that losing streak is over. And I think it coincided with the Bruins losing streak ending too, pretty much
yeah.
Same week. It was like a good week of Boston hockey getting over that hump.
I saw my favorite player, Lauren Gable, scored with a just absolute snipe. Mm-hmm. That was sick.
She's got a hell of a shot, and she showed that, especially in the first, what, four, five, six games of the season in terms of like execution on them. And glad she's finding the back of the net now. It seems to be a recipe for success. I think if you look at these star players on the team, when they score, it's a win, and when they don't, it's a bit of a struggle.
Yeah, it's funny. We've been talking in the chat about how much parity there is in the league, because it is funny. Like, four-game losing streak kind of feels like, damn, this might be a lost season. There's not too many games left. But like, I don't know, they're not that far back in the standings. Four out of the six teams make the playoffs. I mean, there's still time to pull things together. And it's not like this team is way behind everybody else in goal scoring. Right. And
yeah, and it's like you face all of the teams so often. It's not like, okay, say the Bruins are in a wild card race with the Islanders. Well, they already played their three games this season. Like, you constantly have opportunities to like leapfrog and have a game that's really worth, what, 6 points if you went into regulation. So I think that aspect of it. Well, I was also feeling, there's only a little time left. Like, you can still climb if you're beating the right teams.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good stuff, Drew.
That's Drew on the PWH. We should make it like a segment. Drew's Clues.
Drew's Clues.
So that would be like our betting segment, Drew's Clues.
Drew's Bruised.
You know what kind of sounds like Drew's Clues? Is DraftKings. We know hockey games move fast, just like this podcast, into an ad. But with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. Even a 109 mile per hour slap shot from Zdeno Chara. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get 200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get 200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. The NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved.
All right, sick. All right, well, so some of this data might be outdated by the time this comes out, because you know how everything changes in the standings in a couple of days. But as of now, I took all of the teams that MoneyPuck had listed as below 20% chance of making the playoffs, and I looked at all of their unrestricted free agents, and I pulled some names of guys that I think either the Bruins could acquire or that I would like them to acquire, or just some, you know, high on the wish list, probably not happening names. Do we want to start from the bottom and then go up to the high on the wish list names?
I think we should go like middle and then next lowest and then high, like you just work from the middle. No, yeah,
you go work from the middle out. All right. I'll throw out a couple of names and you guys tell me if you have any interest in these guys. One of the real big names out there that obviously Calgary wants to move, not the biggest name that they want to move, but Chris Tanev, a 34-year-old right defenseman with a $4.5 million cap hit. Any thoughts, guys?
Ever since Nick Godin said that I looked like him in one of my profile pictures where I had my eyes open wide, yeah, I'd take him on the Bruins. Also, I just think he's like a Bruins kind of player. I don't know. I feel like he'd mesh well with this group. And like, sure, I'd take him. I mean, I a 34-year-old defenseman I'm not going to go all in on. I honestly don't know what I'd be willing to give up for that, but hell yeah, I'd be interested. I'd try and have a conversation.
I feel like veteran experience is one of those things that like is kind of overvalued and or not overvalued, it plays more of a role going into the playoffs than it does in the regular season. So having a guy who's been in the league for as long as Brad Marchand has would be helpful. Also, he takes awesome pictures with his eyes really wide open.
Isn't that him? That's Brandon Tanev.
Oh, is it his brother?
Yeah.
Well, they should do it together.
Probably have.
I'll take it. They look really alike. I mean, I know they're brothers, but goddamn, yeah. It's about as far as my
crap. Then I was talking about Brandon Tanev the entire time. I don't fucking care about this other guy.
Yeah. So I think he is a player who's become so overrated that he's now underrated. He's obviously a little on the older side. He's not going to give you anything offensively. I think 4.5 million is way too much for a player like that, but he's like a pretty solid third pairing right D. So like, if you really feel like you don't have enough there in Kevin Shattenkirk, yeah, give it a go. I don't think that's your top priority or anything like that, but you know, if you can figure out a way for them to retain some salary, or I don't think that's the way you would use Hampus Lindholm's cap space. But you know, if there are other moves happening and if you want to get rid of a guy like Forbert or something like that, like maybe. All right. How about Jakob Silverberg from the Anaheim Ducks?
A great name, first of
he
all.
He's a right winger.
I've traded for him a few times. In
I think he's like 32, 33, somewhere in that range. One of the best defensive wingers in the league, not lighting anything on fire offensively. $5.3 million cap hit.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think career high is like 28 points. Or no. 39. What am I looking at? Am I still looking at the same player? I was looking at Tanev's stats first.
Career high of 49.
Yeah, like, I mean, yeah, I think it was like 49. Yeah.
2016, 17. So different time.
This season, 15 points. Last season, over 20. But yeah, I mean, 5.5 mil is a lot for not having great offensive production to go along with it. I mean, depth is great, but at that price, if you're like looking further than this season, then no.
Yeah, that would need to be a retained salary kind of deal.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money for a guy like that. But he's kind of like maybe a Nick Foligno type acquisition where like you're just looking for a solid veteran presence who's really good defensively. And yeah, I know it's nothing that's going to light the world on fire if the Bruins do it, but it's another one of those where I'm not mad if they do it. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little more offense and no defense. Vladimir Tarasenko has a full no trade clause, so he could veto anything. But $5 million right winger, really solid offensively, really bad defensively, probably somewhere like league average combined. Does that name strike your fancy? Because that's a guy that I've always really loved, but obviously he's a little older now and
honestly
shine's worn off a little bit.
I would rather make a move like that. I feel like the Bruins are fairly defensively sound and have a very structured system that maybe if you can kind of teach him a little bit of that, not that he's going to become Patrice Bergeron by any means, but at least enough to not be a liability defensively. And obviously there's a huge upside offensively. Like, I think if you're going to stick them realistically, what, like a third line maybe kind of thing right now, the Bruins have enough pieces and players who are responsible as a third line guy that can play defensive hockey that you can kind of let him be a little bit more lenient on the defensive responsibilities and still have a huge upside there for depth scoring. So if they can find a way to make it happen. Also, obviously Stanley Cup experience before, he's got that. He's been around the league.
Really good on the power play.
Yeah, great on the power play, which, like, I mean, the Bruins have a pretty good number of power play tools right now, but adding Vladimir Tarasenko definitely isn't going to hurt. I'd be down for that.
I didn't even realize he was, like, a senator. Like, in the U.S. government. I didn't know he was on Ottawa, honestly, because, you know, I always picture him in a St. Louis jersey. Yeah, I'd take Tarasenko. Again, with all of these, the caveat is I'm not giving like a price that I'd be willing to pay for him. But definitely like someone I would certainly take. Not sure it's the most realistic option, especially with that like complete no trade clause. If they need to trade him, he's gonna have a lot of say of where he goes. If Boston's an attractive option to him, then I think you at least have to make an approach, as Sweeney or Sweeneyus, as some say, or Cam Neely, or no nickname.
All right, I got three more names, but I'm gonna kind of blow past Jason Zucker and Anthony Duclair for the sake of time. Those guys are more just like adding for the sake of adding and just see what happens. But I got one more interesting name, and that's Jack Roslovic from the Blue Jackets. I didn't realize he was going to be a UFA this year or this coming year. He was part of that, the Patrick Laine trade. He has not been great with the Blue Jackets, but if the Bruins are looking to add a center, he's $4 million. He's below average offensively and defensively, but you know, maybe a change of scenery for a highly touted formerly highly touted prospect, surround him with some good wingers. could be successful.
It feels like if you can get him at a decent price, it's like one of those that might be worth taking a flyer on. Not a move that's going to be like season defining by any means, but I could see, like Chris said, get him in a fresher environment and a better team, frankly, and get him a little bit of a bump there, especially if you can stick like a talented winger on his side. So, yeah, worth a flyer, asterisk with all of these with the price, but obviously the center position is where the Bruins have at least appearingly the least amount of depth. So I think, especially going into the playoffs, having options there in case somebody gets hurt or in case somebody's game goes to shit, can't hurt to have an extra name there.
I think I'm not going to say outright no, but I think this is definitely not necessarily like who I'd prioritize they target. First of all, he's from Ohio. Like, he's born in Ohio.
Fairly problematic.
He went to college in Ohio, and he's now playing NHL. Or he went to college Miami, Ohio. Which I don't even... Are they D1? I think that's hilarious that he's like a first-round pick. Or a first-rounder.
Yeah, Miami, Ohio's a pretty big program. I think Sean Corrali went there.
Okay. Oh, good company. All right. If he's going to play like Sean Corrali, then I'll take him. But I think that indicates that maybe he's going to stick around in Columbus just because he loves it so much. But if they're trading, sure, but not the highest on my list, though. I do know centers really this season, and it's crazy to think about. We've been so blessed with Bergeron and Krejci for so long. Center is like at the center of the debate as much as defense is right now. So
the center market is bare.
Yeah.
I only wrote down pending UFAs. Obviously there are guys out there who are on the trading block that are not rentals. Nick Dowd is one of those guys, but he just got hurt. I don't know if that makes him untouchable in terms of, I think he's only hurt for a little bit. He'll be back before before it becomes not worth even trading for him. But he's got a year left on his contract. That's a good depth center option, but that's not top end. The most top end center option we got is Adam Henrique, also from Anaheim. He's got a 10-team no trade list. $5.83 million deal. I'd say like pretty good offensively, not great defensively, overall kind of like league average center, but someone on a not great team who, once again, if you put him on the Bruins, surround him with talent, probably someone who can perform up, a la Hampus Lindholm.
How much did you say his cap it was?
5.83.
Okay. I missed the five. I was like, $8 million? Jeez.
This guy's from Ontario, so fuck him.
I got bad news for you about a couple of Bruins, Drew. yeah, I would feel a little bit better about this one, but still, I think there's higher upside there. But yeah, not anybody I'd be like overly excited about either kind of thing. Again, I think having depth and depth that at least has proven talent, even if they're not playing great right now, is big going to the playoffs. And you can see that kind of thing resurge at points, especially with a better team. But, I won't be dancing if I see the notification on my phone either that it happened. So
I'd take Henrique. I forgot he's been on Anaheim. And then I look, he's been on Anaheim for like almost a decade, like seven seasons or something. I just always picture him in a Devil's jersey. I mean,
oddly enough, same. Yeah.
But, you couple it with, I didn't notice that until you said he's with a bad team. I was like, wait, what? Is this in New Jersey? Like, all right. I'd take him. Obviously, it's another kind of deal where you'd need them to take some cap, or you're set on Lindholm being out. But if Lindholm's out, you got to go after defense with that cap space, or at least some of it, I think. So, Yeah, but I would take Henrik definitely. I think, as I was saying, center is a little iffy this season, for the first time in a long time, and he has that veteran presence too. So, and kind of that 2A-ish game. So yeah, I'd take him.
Yeah, he's my first guy on the not super exciting, but maybe target list. I only have two guys on that list. And the other guy is surprisingly Cal Clutterbuck, right winger, $1.75 million cap hit. He's like a defense only Garnet Hathaway type trade. I think he's also 34, maybe 36. I forget. But once again, more like really good defensive forward. He's going to give you that snarl that a lot of people really want on the fourth line going into the playoffs. And if that's what, you know, maybe the Bruins feel like they need, he's for sure a guy that I would consider going after. The problem is the Islanders still have a shot at making the playoffs. So we don't know if they're shopping anybody. And Clutterbuck's kind of like a fan favorite, you know, locker room guy. This might be his last season though, so maybe he goes and says, hey, like, if we're not gonna make the playoffs, maybe give me a shot at a cup here. That's a guy I'd be like, I wouldn't be excited about him, but be like, yeah, that's a good move, good shoring up that fourth line.
Some Bruins fans would definitely be all over that, the sector that's like hit and fight.
Yeah,
sure, fourth line depth. That's just kind of the guy. I mean, I think at his peak, wasn't he like maybe third line kind of guy?
Yeah, he was always just like really the checking line guy, though. Like, yeah. He's always top of the league in hits.
Mm-hmm.
His line mate, sure. Matt Martin, is also a pending UFA, but he is less exciting.
Yeah, I'd rather have Clutterbuck.
An actual player perspective.
Yeah, Clutterbuck leaves a lot. Just the name itself, too. A lot of content.
Name test, yeah.
The Clutter Puck.
Sells jerseys.
Probably has his own shot called
the Clutter Puck. What, the Clutter Puck?
Cool. Perfect. And now we get to the two, like, actually exciting names. One of them you can absolutely guess, I'm sure. Noah Hanifin. $4.95 million cap hit. Left defenseman, that is the position the Bruins absolutely need to shore up. Just solid defensively, great offensively, I think really ideal. But the problem is the Bruins, I don't know what they would be willing to give up for a potential rental. They would probably want to sign that extension if the trade happened. I think a lot of people are putting stock in the fact that Hanifin's a Boston guy and obviously he wants to be in Boston and he'll obviously sign an extension here. I don't think that's a given. I think maybe he wants to make as much money as he can. Who knows? He has an 8-team no trade. I would be shocked if the Bruins were on that. But still, I mean, I would give the Bruins a pretty good chance of being able to sign him in the offseason considering their cap situation, but I don't know what they have to offer that they'd be willing to part with right now.
Yeah, those ones are always tough where you feel like you might be a front runner to get him in the offseason anyway. I mean, obviously you want to try to make as big of an impact as you can for this season, especially with, you know, I don't think Marchand's hanging him up after the end of the season, but if you feel like you have a chance to win it this year, you got to kind of go for it. Yeah, it would be cool to see. Always fun to see Boston guys. He stuck around and played at BC in college too. So, you know, always a fun story. But I would definitely like to see it happen. It feels like it's just going to be one of those moves that is not realistic as far as what the expectation is. He's had a pretty friendly cap hit. I think they probably would be asking for a little bit too much. Maybe, I don't know, Linus Ullmark. Kidding. If you know, you know. But yeah,
like the Bruins aren't parting with Lauri for
potential rental. That would be silly to do. So ideally you can fleece them and secure a trade and sign kind of thing, but that seems like it's probably something that lives more in the dreams of Bruins fans than in the actual going abouts here. So I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think it's actually going to happen.
Drew?
Would be cool, though.
Sure.
All right.
Hannifin, yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of talk out there, but I take him. You have to listen, but you can't give up too much. Not the kind of guy I'd go all in on. This is the cup.
All right. And here's the kind of guy I would go all in on. It literally the one guy on the market that's a pending UFA. I think he's 29. I didn't write down anybody's age, so really prepared. Can play either wing. $5.7 million cap hit. Great offensively, great defensively on a mediocre to bad team. No offense, Sammy. It's Anthony Mantha having a really solid year. I feel like he's been good for a while. I don't know if that's just maybe owned him on a couple of fantasy teams and was like, this guy really rules. But having a really good year this year with, you know, kind of a diminished supporting cast on that Washington team. And if there's anyone you're going to, I still don't know if this is the year for the Bruins to go all in, but if there's one guy to go all in for, I think that's him.
Yeah. I'd like the addition. Fairly talented, brings a bit of snarl too, which checks both boxes there, which is ideal. I feel like, what did you say the cap hit was? 5.7?
Yep.
Okay. I feel like you might be able to get, I don't know what Washington's cap situation looks like, but presumably you could get them to maybe eat a little bit of that since they're kind of looking like shit right now. So would be curious what kind of return they're looking for also based on kind of the outlook of their organization right now. But I think if you can make that deal at a reasonable cost, I agree. That would be a solid pickup that feels like one of those sort of sneaky under the radar Don Sweeney deals that ends up, you know, rolling out pretty well a la, you know, Hampus Lindholm a couple seasons ago. I would like to see that happen.
Yeah.
I've
always kind of liked Mantha. He was on a really shitty Detroit team for like a long time. Like during that whole era, it was like, I think Detroit's going to return to contenders. They have these young players. Like you had Larkin, you had Mantha, and like, no. Unfortunately, he's kind of currently stuck with an underwhelming Caps team. But, definitely, I'd take him. I think not that it necessarily, like, solves a lot of issues. It's just, like, such a bump to your lineup that it'd be really hard to turn down. Like you said, Chris, I don't know if this is a season to go all in. And I don't know if I'd necessarily go all in for Mantha at this moment. But definitely if there's chatter that he's available, that I think you have to go after him. I bet there'll be a lot of teams after him if that's the case. So yeah, I'd take him.
All right.
That was Chris's wishes, our new segment.
Chris's wishes.
Hard to say.
Now if you want to like play me off with some music, I'll read off all the guys to absolutely stay away from.
You got 15 seconds. You just like that's fade copyright.
Jakub Vrana, Alex Goligoski, Eric Johnson, Mike Hoffman, Kevin LeBanc, Tyler Johnson, Marco Scandella, Brandon Duhame, Max Pacioretty, Dominic Kubalik, Kyle Okposo, Matt Dumba, Tanner Pearson, Nikita Zaitsev, Anthony Beauvillier, Ilya Lubushkin, Demis Gergensens, Joel Edmondson, Pat Maroon, Kasperi Kapanen, Sebastian Aho, Sammy Blay, Tyson Jost, and Jared Tenorti.
The Tenorti, let's go! Bring him back.
Man.
Bring him back. Bring him back.
Bring him back. At all costs. First round pick, one for one.
Yeah, he's one of the worst players in the league this year.
He did yell at someone after Bedard was like being a POS to some player. So good old Tim Nan.
All right. Thanks for listening to all that. Bye. Dear. Thank you.